table of chicken.
All right. Good afternoon, and welcome to this second and final seminar session. My name's Dan Wu. I'm on faculty here at Moore College, and it's great to have you here with us today. The topic for this seminar is the relationship between women on staff and staff wives. So as I'm sure you're aware, that relationships are essential to ministry, and part of the greatest joy of ministry, what ministry is all about. And so good, healthy, strong relationships on a ministry team and in a ministry family are a wonderful, energizing and satisfying experience. But I'm also sure you're aware that relationships can be complex and challenging and difficult, and bad relationships on a ministry team and in a ministry family are one of the most draining, damaging and distressing experiences you can have. Now, of course, one of the complexities of ministry is that whether you're single or married, male or female, you can never really separate out what exactly is work, what exactly is personal, what exactly is family. And so this makes the relational dynamics on a staff team where you have women on staff and staff wives or, women on staff and staff wives or vice versa, especially worthy of care. And our three speakers this afternoon, Phil and Jill Wheeler and Lois Hagger, have experience working together in a team situation. So they served on staff together for 10 years on the campus at UNSW and also have a wealth of other experience on this topic. So we'll hear from them in a moment, then have some time for questions. But before our speakers come up and introduce themselves a bit further, let me pray and commit our time to God. Father, we thank you for the richness of what we have heard already today. We thank you for the food for thought and for the stimulation to our minds and our hearts that today has brought, and we pray that as we continue to turn our mind to the best way for us to relate together as men and women in ministry, that you would be with us for this last session. Give us energy and attention to listen to our speakers, to engage with what they're saying and with your word, so that we can please you more and more and work better and better together as men and women serving you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please welcome our speakers?
Thanks for coming. Oh, there's an outline there too. Somewhere. We gave them to Dan. That's our shoes. We'll just very briefly say a little bit more, just by way of context, so you understand sort of the relationships that we have and a little bit of our history. Firstly, I've served now as the senior minister at Christ Church at Gladesville. I'm on the ministry team there, and before that, as Dan mentioned, I was at Union New South Wales, actually at St Matthias strictly, but also involved with Union New South Wales, and look around to see some familiar faces from those years. And worked with a number of women on staff, and obviously then Jill in relationship with them, including Lois. That's where we were in relationship together. And when I first came back to, and before that, I was at Caringbah, 2 years at Caringbah. So far back, I can't remember. And when I first came back to St Matthias, Lois was on the staff team, and I came back as the pastor of the Wednesday night congregation. A little bit unusual these days, but a Wednesday night church. And Lois is on staff there, and that's where we began our working relationship. So that's just a bit about my history.
I'm Jill, married to Phil, and we met at the University of New South Wales quite a few years ago. We have three children, youngest of whom is doing her year 12, so nearly grown up. I work part-time, a little bit of part-time work as a GP, and otherwise do some ministry at Christ Church, a variety of things, but it includes teaching scripture and running a ladies' Bible study group. Oh, I was going to say. So at Christ Church, we have two women on staff. One's a full-time children's and families worker, and the other one's a part-time children's worker. She's married, and the full-time worker is single.
I'm Lois, and I started ministry in the early 80s, and that was with the Navigators. It's probably a group that no one's heard of except for Michelle, because we were in that group together. And then I started MTS in the mid-80s at UNSW, And then I was a very slow learner. I was an MT for four and a half years. But that was okay because I was nursing part-time, so it was great combination. So then I went on to the full-time staff and I was the women's trainer until I went to college in 2000. Then I went back to UNSW, really St Matthias, and then I went to Ireland for 5 years. I worked in a church there in the middle of Dublin and came back 3 years ago. And I'm at Wollongong Uni now working with AFES, Senior Women's Worker, training again women in MTS and looking after women in some of the faculties there. So what's this seminar about? Well, it's, as the blurb said, it's all about the relationship between the pastor's wife and the female staff worker. Let me just do a drawing, and I hope this will be okay if I move this. It's rather natty, isn't it? So you have the senior minister here, or the minister, and then you have the wife, the wife here, pastor's wife, and then you have the female staff worker over here. What this seminar is about really is about this relationship here. Not so much that one, that will come into it. Not so much that one, it will come into it, but it really is about this one. Now, there also might be other people on the staff. Another full-time pastor, and he might be married as well. So his wife is over there, the senior pastor's wife is here, and there may be some interaction between this wife as well, but we're really talking about this wife here. And also this female staff worker could be married, so we'll put a hubby down there. But again, it's mainly through here. You might have other questions, but try and stick to this scenario. It's not about what women do on staff generally. I mean, we can all do different things. We might be youth worker, children's and family worker, might be someone like me who's working on a campus training women on MTS. So there's a plethora of what women can do, but it's mainly, again, about this relationship. Now, some of you may have come having experienced working with a woman on staff. You might be a wife. You might be somebody who's been a female staff worker. You may be somebody who's in a church who's never had a women's worker, but you're thinking about it. And you might be somebody who is about to employ somebody on staff and you've never had that experience. So hopefully this seminar will be of great help to you. With the aim of the seminar, which is on here, it's to understand the dynamics of the relationship and potential issues and the sources of conflict. There may be conflict in different situations, and hopefully, as we have scenarios, you might be able to get some information and some help on how to work these situations out. Another aim is to be equipped and have strategies to avoid or even minimise issues and have a positive working relationship. And then maybe at the end of it, be able to sort out some conflict with some mechanisms that you might have picked up in this next hour. So hopefully you'll find this time encouraging. You may have come for different reasons, but I hope that what we say, our experiences, might be of benefit to you all.
In a moment, we're going to have a couple of scenarios, and you might even have seen them on the sheet in front of you, and part of to sort of think about those, just to sort of get some of the issues and stir up perhaps you to think even beyond what you might have experienced, and so if we can get some of those and get some feedback on that. But just before we go to those scenarios, just a couple of preliminary comments, and I guess the first one is extending a little bit what Dan has said, that obviously relationships are complicated. And I think it's helpful to say, certainly from my own experience, that just because we're all mature Christian people working in a staff team environment together, that doesn't automatically mean everyone's going to get along fantastically well, nor that there won't be problems and difficulties. And I'm always encouraged when you look to the scriptures and you actually see that actually tensions and difficulties, no sort of staff Christian relationships actually are there in scripture. So Paul and Barnabas have their falling out, and they have such a sharp disagreement they have to part company and go different directions. And just so I was thinking about the other day, I thought also, actually, you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche, two females, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, to help these women who've contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. So there are two women who he has worked closely with, their fellow workers in the Lord. Don't know the circumstance. We don't know anything really about what has actually happened there, but it happens. And I guess that's just the reality of being Christians. And I think obviously the ministry context actually adds lots of pressures into ministry. People can get a little bit strained. That has emotional highs and lows that are there. Often it's a variety of hours, sometimes long and intense hours. So don't be surprised at the kind of misunderstandings and difficulties that are there in these sorts of relationships. And as we've chatted with a few people, it's become quite clear. Although we would probably say that certainly in our relationship here, we've never particularly had any great strains or difficulties in that relationship. As we've chatted with some people have said, oh, goodness me, no, I don't think I can speak to you about that, or we had a really major issue, etc. And there's a lot of pain and the hurt, and perhaps you're sitting here because in part you've experienced something which has been really quite painful in sort of some sort of context in the relationship we're talking about here. So perhaps we ought to say, therefore, we have talked with quite a few people. Don't try to second guess necessarily who we might be talking about when we use an illustration. I think I'll borrow Philip's sort of defence there that at the end of NCIS or CSI? Well, as I always have the little thing that comes up and it says something like, events and characters in this thing are entirely fictitious and any resemblance is entirely coincidental. Something like that. So in these scenarios that we've got, which are sort of based on sort of kind of realistic situations, we kind of mixed it up a little bit, so don't think, oh, that is it's probably not. Okay, so just that kind of bit of background. So that's just by way of comments. I'll hand over to Jill and to our scenarios and get you thinking a little bit.
Okay, so we just wanted to start off, get you thinking about what are some of the potential issues that might arise. So we've got three scenarios there. We just want you to spend 5 minutes. We'll divide you into three groups. So maybe half of them look at scenario one, the other half scenario two and scenario three, and in pairs or singly, depending on where you're sitting. Just have a think about that particular scenario and what are some of the potential issues that it raises, or that problems that cause that particular scenario. So just for 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. What have you got there by way of... let's take the first scenario. You can read it there. First scenario? Okay. What did you come up? What are the sort of the issues that are there? What are the problems that are there in this relationship? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Just the description of the female staff member. She's young and she's enthusiastic. She spends a lot of time with the staff team. But perhaps in that new role that there was a bit of jealousy.
Okay, so feeling threatened.
Not with
Yeah,
you can write there on that screen there. Okay, I shouldn't have to do. I have to write or something like that. Okay. Okay. Carolyn, not a very good pen. Okay, so a bit of threat and jealousy, you'll record it in there, so a bit of threat or jealousy there, the kind of young, enthusiastic kind of comes, and the wife possibly is feeling that, yeah? Yep. Others?
Yeah, we saw some triangulation as well, so she has a problem and doesn't go and speak to the women's worker, but goes to her husband, and so we thought that was creating a complex relationship.
Okay.
The source of the conflict.
Okay. So that kind of triangulation thing that we're going to touch on, that's an important idea, yeah? Yep.
I think the wife escalates the issue to really fuck stuff, like it has to leave the church because of this issue rather than trying to sort out other, like, more less drastic ways of solving the problem.
Yeah, so that may come into feeling threatened or hurt or something like that and therefore goes for a fairly, drastic action, yeah? Other issues that might be floating around in there? That's just triangulation, and then. Oh, okay. Anyway, she's getting it. She's my helper. Okay, so that kind of thing, just communication expectation. Whose job is? Yep. Okay. Yep. Any other ones just from that? There's just a. Sorry.
Can I add something?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, yep, yep. Okay, that's a number two, I think you're talking about.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Number one.
Okay, number one.
Yep. Are we still talking about number one?
Yeah, she's still on number one, yeah. She's only suggesting, yeah.
Well, even, like, it is Paul, but should he get involved and,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, and explain the communication issue and the roles, the relevant roles that people have.
Yeah, so that kind of issue of, leadership and, I guess, strength of kind of, what he needs to do, both with respect to his wife and with the female staff member. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to scenario number two. What's your thoughts about number two? Issues there? Similar ones, different ones?
I think we thought the wife probably similar sort of feelings of a bit of jealousy, but feeling usurped in her role, not recognised her role.
Okay, so you think the wife might be feeling she had a role, in comes this other person, and now she feels perhaps again threatened, usurped, left out. Yeah, okay.
There must have been a reason that we took on this extra female staff member. So the wife have to lose all her ministry, or could it have been shared more, could it have been explained more by the minister or by the two women themselves, could they have sorted that more? But we felt that the staff member
Yeah. So that one classically where you thought that we'd agreed on something, but actually, no, we hadn't actually, because there's other people that need to be checked, or you didn't know about other people had to be checked, etc. Yeah?
Well,
right.
It sounds like it's happening retrospectively. Like decisions are being made, and then after the fact, the minister's wife's changing those decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so under the minister's problems, and who actually runs the ministry? The woman has been brought on to run this ministry, but actually, no, she hasn't. She hasn't actually got authority.
I wonder who runs the church.
Yeah, you could put that down. So, who actually is in charge? Yeah, we sort of jest a little bit, but you will know context where sometimes people ask those sort of questions. Yeah, yeah. Okay, others? Other issues there on number two? Yeah.
What she wants, so more interested in pleasing people rather than...
So maybe the first one again, poor leadership and perhaps a weakness perhaps to actually call something out as it has to be really done. Yeah? Okay. I haven't got many there in the female staff member. Yeah, she's done no wrong here. Okay.
It sounds like that after he's spoken with his wife, that his wife has said something. That actually maybe she's changed him. But maybe he's
okay, so yeah.
I have decided that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yep, right.
I know it says eventually, but I would hope that it wouldn't just be an isolated incident that would cause the female staff member to have to resign. Like, I would hope that it would be worked through and that there would be growth on both sides through that. Like, there's going to be hard times in ministry. You can't just run away.
Yeah, so did this happen once, or is this consistent pattern that's been addressed, failed to actually do anything about it? I'm sick of this, and I resign. Yep, okay.
Right, I don't know, I think, that's when, you know. She meets regularly with the senior minister, and decisions are made about women's ministry. She didn't meet with the women that
okay.
were running
yep.
ministry before. So I would say there's a failure on her part to actually communicate with the women at the church who were already running the ministry that she was.
Okay, so again, maybe she could have done something to find out there's a lot of experience there and perhaps she needed to engage and that might have solved some of this problem. People feel included, not left out or excluded. Yep, okay. All right, what about number...
She's given the impression at the interview. So did she really lock down what her role was, what her tasks were, were they locked down for her?
Yeah.
Was it all a little bit too wishy-washy?
Yep, and that...
Yeah,
that kind of expectations, roles, etc. Yep. Okay, what about number three?
Had they communicated at all between the three of them about what the roles were specifically going to be and how they were going to provide the work? And then also, a friendship changes when you start working together. Having a pastoral relationship with the minister's wife just done.
Yeah, okay. Could you be a little clearer? So again,
because you're expecting her to hear you're whinging about her husband and the ministry, whatever he's doing, even if he's doing a perfect job, there's going to be a lot of tension there.
It's not fair,
I don't think, to bring that into the marriage. The couple should have said this has got to change.
Yeah.
As well.
So you think it's along the lines of, again, a failure of community, so maybe assumptions have been made about roles and responsibilities. But then this friendship overlay with kind of ministry kind of thing, then there's some confusions in that. Plus it comes back again to that triangulation issue. Yep.
You change relationships when it's not a friendship anymore, it's a working relationship. And so it's going to change no matter what happens. You've got to understand how that's going to change.
Yeah. And possibly in this case, there's a naivety about that, or it was just never discussed, never talked about what it might be. Okay, yeah. Others that are in that third scenario? Yeah, so that kind of confusion. Now you're no longer just friends in ministry where you may chat about how you went doing something. Now it's actually an employment relationship and a boss kind of employee, and there's performance expectations, and that's suddenly changed.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, there's a bunch of kind of things. I think you picked up most of the ones that I think we thought might come out of that. And you picked up, I think, key ones. Obviously, the whole area of just good communication. Between people and not assuming things but actually talking things through and laying things out and making sure there's good communication. There's a kind of whole clarity of roles and responsibilities. Sometimes we just were touching on there with what actually is the role, is there kind of clarity of kind of particular who's responsible for what. And in a lot of church contexts, in my experience, we're not terribly good at that kind of thing. We decry the kind of the world with job descriptions and KPIs and all that kind of stuff. And I think Lois actually said in all of the jobs she's had in women's kind of ministry, not once has she actually had a job description. Most recent.
One in Dublin,
okay. Yeah. So we're not particularly strong on even just kind of clearing up what are you actually responsible for, who's accountable, what's your job exactly, and what's not your job, and what's not outside of the bounds of your responsibility, etc. So that kind of whole area of clarity. The issue there, which I think is fairly common in this kind of space, and can be very easy in ministry, and that's that triangulation, where a relationship should be me to the person, etc., but someone else gets pulled into the whole equation, and that kind of this triangulation thing starts to happen, and the difficulties that come up with that. And then probably the final one, I think you touched on a couple of the ones, is just the whole issue of our own personal kind of where we're at, how secure we are in our own skin, feeling threatened. Perhaps there was absolutely no grounds for the threat in any of that, and yet I can feel it still. And actually, it's not the other person's problem. Actually, it's my problem. And quite a few of the conversations we had with people, when we sort of discussed why it kind of became difficult, and this is that, some of it came down to personality, threat, things that have happened in the past. I bring that into this relationship. It wasn't like that, but it felt like it was going to be, and suddenly lots of other things flood in. So just that kind of whole area of just where am I and how secure am I. So they were the kind of broad issues that we hope those would throw up, and it's helpful. And when we'll have an opportunity for questions, so maybe clarify some of those. So what we thought we'd do now is just go to some strategies and some ways that we think positively, okay, in the light of those problems, what can we actually do to actually make sure we've got good, healthy relationships? And we've got sort of six questions that you see on the table there. They're not the sum total of the questions, but we just thought they might be helpful just to address, just by way of thinking positively about setting up good relationships.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with the first one. What should the relationship look like between a staff wife and a female staff member? Do they need to be best friends? So from my perspective, I actually think it's best that you're not aiming for a best friends relationship and probably not even being prayer partners. This is because I think it's important that you are the person your husband can talk to, download on, if he needs to, about ministry, about issues, about problems. And if that involves a female staff worker, I mean, things might be fine, but if it does, and from the beginning you don't know if there's ever going to be those struggles or tensions, then you want to be the one that he feels he can talk to about that if he needs to. If you're in a very close relationship with a female staff worker, that can then cause conflict and problems and could really cause a big issue in terms of that relationship. But it's important, I think, to be involved with each other, female staff worker and the minister's wife. And this may just be socially. So quite often when we're in our different roles, when we've had females on staff, we've had them over regularly for meals with the family and done other things socially. Lois used to come over for meals pretty often.
Every Monday.
Which is great. And that's a really good opportunity for her to get involved with the rest of the family and the kids, etc. In fact, Lois is the goddaughter to one of our children.
I'm godmother.
Godmother. So the other possibility is actually being involved in ministry together. That might be women's ministry on a women's ministry team. Or for me, at Glazeville at the moment, I'm on the scripture team. We actually meet as a team to plan scripture once a week, and Sarah runs that. Sarah, who's our full-time women's worker, children's and families worker, runs that team. It may be some women's events at church, ESL, those sort of things. So I think it's good to be involved and have a good relationship, but not to be too close, to be involved in some manner where if there is a conflict between your husband and the female staff worker, that actually won't impact on the ministry that you're involved in. Lois, did you want to say something else about that?
You had a couple. Sometimes the minister's wife is working and hasn't got much time. Sometimes there are little kids as well, hasn't got much time, is very tired. So I think the female staff worker really shouldn't expect too much of the minister's wife to fulfil A, B, C and D. You really need to complement one another. You need to work together. As Phil said, all the ministry jobs, not that I've had that many, that I've gone to, I've never really had a job description, but I'm very thankful that the wives and myself, I've worked very well with the wife, not in ministry, but in our relationship. So dinners every Monday night, I used to babysit the kids occasionally. But that was it. But we had, not best friends. Sorry, Jill. But friends nevertheless, and it's been quite a long friendship. Yeah.
Okay, the next question we thought was helpful. What sort of things do I do in my relationship with Jill to make sure she knows the kind of relationship that I've got with the female staff member? And I think that comes down, from my point of view, I think just to communication and boundaries are the two sort of things that I think are helpful to talk about. So firstly, on communication, I try to be as open as I can. I try to be open with Jill about all of the relationships and the different people that I'm meeting, what I'm doing, what fills my day, who I'm seeing. Jill is my partner in ministry. We said as ministry that we're in together. Now, I'm the formerly employed person, but Jill's very much part of making that ministry possible. And so she's interested in what I'm doing, and I try to keep her informed about it. And it's not every single detail. Obviously, some conversations she doesn't need to know about or perhaps shouldn't know about. But we try to make sure there's just openness of what's going on. My diary, Jill can see my diary. I've got no problem with Jill seeing my phone and what's on my phone. There should be no secrets like that as far as I'm concerned. And I shouldn't have anything that I would be slightly embarrassed for Jill to see in any way. And so if I start to think, oh, I'm going to go and meet with somebody or go and meet with, say, this female staff member, and I think there may be an issue there, then I've got to stop and think either I shouldn't do it or I should chat it through with Jill and make sure I'm kind of communicating that clearly. So most of the time, there's not a problem. Jill asks, we talk about our day, I talk about what's happening. She sees, she knows who I'm meeting with, she knows the regular appointments. It's just kind of open and clear and transparent, I guess, what I'm aiming at the whole time. In terms of if something is about a bit out of the ordinary, so perhaps I'm meeting with the female staff member and it's a little bit out of the ordinary routine of things, it's important that I actually talk that through with Jill. So, for example, I'll give an example. With our current staff member, Sarah, for a variety of kind of reasons, I thought it'd be good if we just did something a little bit more kind of out of, you know, just not the norm, sitting down, talking through things. Just thought it was good for us to do something a bit different. And so I know she loves art. She's very colourful, graphic, kind of, she loves other things. So I said, why don't we go to the art gallery together and we will just wander around, have a look at that and have a coffee and a chat at the art gallery, etc. And I checked it with Jill just to make sure she was uncomfortable with that kind of thing. So, and it was a great day. I was just to change the dynamic of the relationship for a variety of reasons, just to kind of do something a bit different. But it was something that I needed to make sure Jill knew all about. It was in a very public kind of a context. And everything was great. We chatted about it, etc. So just anything that's out of the ordinary like that, I would check and just make sure there's not a problem. In case there was a... I don't feel comfortable with you doing that, okay? Well, it's not going to happen then. It's that kind of situation. So it's that kind of communication. Obviously, the other thing then is just making sure that you do have very clear boundaries and that those boundaries have been discussed both with Jill and with the female staff member. And we make it a discussion that the staff team generally have anyway about what are the kind of boundaries of guy-girl relationships, where and when we meet, how often we might meet, just for that whole propriety, doing the right thing in ministry. So, for example, I would never meet the female staff member alone in a private kind of context. If I meet with Sarah or with Anne, or the married staff member, I would always either meet at the office when there are other people around, or I'd meet in a coffee shop. So we regularly go and have a cup of coffee, sit in a coffee shop, chatting together. Those are the boundaries. I wouldn't go around to Sarah's house. If I do, her flatmate would be home. If I happen for some reason to think the flatmate would be home, and I was there, I would certainly stay outside the house. Just not because there's any kind of particular, it's just for a propriety thing, and it's a good habit to get into and a good boundary to have and to stick to that kind of boundary. Similarly, if she called to my place, perhaps coming and she arrived early, Jill wasn't there, again, probably just depending on the timing of that, I'd probably say, we'll chat outside. And we're not before she would come in. I just try to avoid those sorts of things. So just having simple boundaries, I think, just help. Jill knows what the boundaries are. Sarah and others on the staff know what the kind of general boundaries for our staff team are. That just helps all of that kind of thing. So it's kind of along the lines of boundaries, making sure that's all open. The other thing is, I think also there are some areas, some boundaries in terms of conversations and the sort of areas of conversation. So I wouldn't expect and I wouldn't discuss, say, our personal relationship with the female staff member, because it's just sort of, it's an inappropriate, it doesn't really come into it and just would be an unhelpful boundary to cross. And similarly, unless she really needed some help or wanted or invited it, I wouldn't go into the area of her kind of, say, close personal relationships. Perhaps she's thinking of going out with somebody, or I don't know what it might be, etc. Now, if she's still under my pastoral kind of care, as she's a member of the church, but if there was that was she needed help in that kind of area, I'd be trying to get that to be somebody else, not Jill, but somebody else in the context that could actually help in that sort of pastoral relationship. So I'm just saying there's maybe some boundaries, conversationally kind of areas that just better not to go to, because this is a kind of a working professional relationship. No, and that's where that blurring of friendshipy sort of stuff happens. And I think that sometimes is part of our problem in ministry. We do think we're all going to be mates and colleagues in ministry, but actually there is authority and there is kind of a submitting to authority within the sort of structure. And we've just got to get that clear and make sure everybody knows. So that's what I'd say in terms of the things that we work at. Yep.
Okay, the third one is, what are helpful and unhelpful things the woman on staff can do? I guess one place to start would be for the female staff worker and the wife, if they want to. Again, nothing set in stone. If they want to look at the year to come, what plans does the wife have? What plans does the female staff worker have? And maybe they can work together. Maybe they need to do things separately. Maybe I'd never do that. I'll do this. And you'd be quite happy with your decisions. So, again, I've never actually sat down with a wife and worked out what I'm going to do and what she's going to do. It's just happened. But there might be some situations where you might actually need to do that. Again, don't have expectations of the minister's wife that she will do this and this and that. Again, you're different people. You've both got different strengths. You've both got different gifts. She might be fantastic at this. You might be absolutely hopeless. Great, let her go on with it. And you do what you're good at. Try new things. If there are things you can work on together, then go for it. But don't be competitive. Again, you've both got different strengths, again, different weaknesses, and you can learn from each other if you are in a situation that can happen. The wife, she's a real person. You're a real person. You've both got pressures in your life. There might even be a struggle in the marriage. You may not know what's going on. There might be problems in the extended family that you don't know about as the female staff worker. So don't think that the minister's wife is going to be perfect, having it all worked out. Just remember that there might be issues there that you're not aware of. If there are problems, then you need to talk about it. But as Jill said, not with a female staff worker. And I don't think with anybody in the congregation either. I think you need to talk with somebody outside, because if you've got problems within the working relationship, I think it's very discouraging for congregation members to have to listen to. So I think you need to have a few friends outside that you can talk to, that you know that they will forget it as soon as you tell them. I've got a friend that does forget things immediately, which is a bit frustrating, but I know that she won't blab, which is great. And she'll say, oh yeah, we did talk about that, didn't we? Tell me again. So I'm actually quite happy about that. Might be an old work colleague, maybe somebody else in another church that you worked with. Again, you can talk to them. But as I said, I don't think it's very healthy to talk with somebody in your congregation. Both of you have got issues that you've brought to the relationship. And I think a lot of female staff workers are single. And I think that there's a lot of unhappiness out there. I think there's a lot of moaning about being single. And as Philip said this morning, we all say you wouldn't understand what it's like being single. I sometimes go through that, and I get discouraged when I carry on like that, so I try not to. It only breeds insecurity and resentment. So I can look at the relationship of the minister and his wife, and I can resent it because I don't have that. So I need to pray that God would help me to be content in this relationship with both the minister and the wife, and that we could get on together. I think another helpful thing is to not be involved in their marriage. Keep their marriage separate to your life. What I'm saying is, don't meddle. Don't be asking personal questions about their marriage. That's their business, it's not your business.
Okay, so what are some helpful and unhelpful things the wife can do? Firstly, never view themselves as the unpaid women's worker. Better to see themselves as a member of the congregation involved in women's ministry, if that is the area of ministry they choose to be involved in. Secondly, see your chief responsibility as being your husband's helper. So, as I said before, it's important that you're the one he is able to download on if he needs to about something. Now, if that's an issue between the female staff worker and him, a conflict that's arisen, it's important that you stay uninvolved in that conflict. So that's why it's important that your relationship with the female staff member is not so close that she also wants to download on you when there's a conflict or an issue. You need to be there for your husband, and you need to be not... And the female staff worker needs to be not downloading on you about that. So it's that triangulation we were talking about and that someone else raised before. You don't want to be the piggy in the middle, because that's when lots of problems start, and often they never get solved, or someone ends up having to leave. Now, sometimes that triangulation's inadvertent, but particularly if you have a very close relationship with the female staff worker... they may not even think about that being an issue before they've downloaded on you. So it's good to have that distance in that relationship. But it's important that your husband feels like he can talk to you. Now, it's also important not to be blind to his mistakes or sinfulness. There is occasional mistakes he might make. A little bit of sinfulness. And obviously, if he's downloading to you, you can feed back to him what you think might be a different way he needs to be thinking about that. But it's important that you're always on his side, that you're not taking the side of the female staff worker. And that won't happen if you don't get into that piggy in the middle situation. That's it.
Okay, sorry for the ups and downs on this. We thought it'd be good to hear from different people. What are some helpful or unhelpful things that the male minister can do in that relationship with the female staff member? The first one, I think, perhaps that might sound a bit strange, but that's even before employing somebody, if you're starting to think about that employing someone, I would check with my wife. I probably would have happened anyway, because we're talking through staffing and teams and who's on staff, etc. But it's just that thing of just asking the question. I'm talking with this particular person. What do you think, etc. Just in case, who knows, there might be some background there or some history or something or other, or maybe that's the sort of person your wife might say, "Oh, I would find that hard," or possibly there may be something just to sort of check to make sure she's informed and knows what's happening. Perhaps, especially if you've been around for a while and you've perhaps been friends, thinking of that third scenario, it might have been good to sort of ask rather than necessarily assume that everything was going to be all okay in that kind of context. So just that maybe just checking before and to make sure there's no issues even before you begin. And then obviously once they start, I think an increasing believer in the clarity of the kind of roles and expectations that everybody has. I think our kind of, we'll just sort of sign up and run the congregation or run this congregation and kind of hope for the best, I think it actually gets us into some difficulties about who's responsible and who's accountable, etc. So I think I would actually try to be quite clear. It doesn't have to be an absolute, five-page document, etc. But just so long as people are clear, is she coming in to run the women's ministry and therefore she's got responsibility and authority within that structure? And what's that actually look like? Who does she report to if there's a difficulty? If someone's got a problem, do they raise it with me? Like, how does that all kind of work? Just that kind of clarity of kind of roles and responsibilities. And make sure that also is communicated to everyone else knows that as well. And then thinking particularly, obviously your wife probably needs to know that that's the case. And perhaps if she has been running the women's ministry for many years and now you're employing this person to come in and actually take that up and to run it, there's going to have to be a conversation there somewhere about, okay, well, what are you not going to do? How's this going to work? Because there's a very obvious threat thing going on there, isn't it? That the new, younger woman may think, look, I've got to come in and take over from the experienced person that knows everybody, that's been running all these things. How on earth can I do it like that? She may be feeling like that. And equally, the wife may be feeling, oh, well, now the theologically trained, bright young things come from college, and she's going to be, and I'm going to be excluded. And it's an obvious area where there could be, so it just has to be talked about and make sure we're clear about who's responsible. So I would say those things to make sure there's no misunderstandings. But I think critically, I can't let my wife, who is in, is not actually an employed member and doesn't actually, you know, on the staff, etc., override the decisions and the kind of responsibility areas of the female staff member. If she's been given that responsibility, then she must be the one with the authority in that area, and not somehow there's some sort of subtle thing going on where actually Jill somehow thinks that she's the one in charge. So I mustn't ever let that kind of happen. Otherwise, that scenario that we had there where the person resigns, understandably, in frustration. A helpful model that I heard from the other day from someone, there's a, and this may be applying across more broadly than just women's ministry or this kind of situation here, and that's that little model where just clarify who actually is responsible. And that's on. There's a little thing called RACI, R-A-C-I, and it's the idea that you just think through who actually the person who's finally, ultimately accountable for the whole ministry. So think of the A, accountability, that you're accountable for the running of that whole thing. You're the one with the authority in that space. Responsible means that you might have some responsibilities to do a particular part of, but you're not actually the one with the final authority, the final kind of boss in that sort of space. But you've got a role. And then consult means someone will be useful to consult. So in the case of the wife who's been doing ministry, she might have some responsibilities. She'd be a good person to consult with because she's got lots of experience. But it's just a consult. It's not actually the person in charge. The female staff member is the one who's got the responsibility or the authority and the so forth to run. So authority, responsibility, consult, and then sometimes the eyes just inform. Who's someone that needs to be informed about something, but they don't actually, they don't have to be consulted. They're not actually responsible. They're not in charge, but just, you know, they need to be informed. So classically in a church structure, sometimes the secretary thinks she's actually in charge or has responsibilities or is in authority, when actually it's probably more like inform. She needs to know things are happening, but it's just to inform rather than she's in charge. So it's just a little simple model. It may be worth thinking through for each of the ministries, who actually is responsible, you know, who's the authority here, who's the one thing, who actually has responsibilities, who needs to be consulted, and who's useful to be informed about that. So just a sort of a simple model. So those are the sort of things I'd be trying to do. Make sure there's real clarity about roles and responsibilities so that there's no surprises for people.
And then the last one is, what sort of relationship should a woman on staff, whether she is married or single, expect to have with a married male member of staff? So it's kind of changing a little bit. We're just sort of doing one line, not the green line, but I'll include the wife as well. First of all, it shouldn't be an exclusive relationship with the minister. It's got to be inclusive of the wife. So you're not to view the minister as a single man. I know that might sound a bit ridiculous, but I think we can often leave the wife out of the equation and we're just working with him, but we need to include the wife in our thinking. We shouldn't have a father-daughter relationship. So we can come to this ministry and we might come from a family where we've never had a good father model, and so we're now in this relationship with this really godly man who's got it all together, probably, got a great marriage, and particularly if he's a lot older than me or the female staff worker, you can actually start to grow this bond that he is now my father, which is very, very unhealthy, obviously. So you need to be aware of that possibility. It's a bit different if the minister is maybe your age. That will bring different problems. Sexual temptation, again, you need to be aware of those, your vulnerability, and really step back. So they're different scenarios, but they both can bring quite big problems. You're employed to do the job. You're not employed to build a relationship of intimacy with the man that you're working with. You're not even to be best friends. Again, you're paid to do this job. So it's important to respect your boss. You're not to meddle in their marriage. And you shouldn't foster dependence on the male minister, but also with the wife. You shouldn't try and get your life support, as it were, from both of these individuals. Be aware of your own vulnerability. There'll be times when you'll feel really low and quite sad. Things aren't going well in ministry. You've just had a really rotten week, and maybe your friends aren't around to talk to. So you talk to your boss. Again, if you're going to do that, make sure, again, it's in a very public space that, you know, people are going to be around. That's a big area of temptation that people can fall into. So in all the way that you relate to your boss, it's to be an appropriate one, a model of being a part of God's family, one of godliness, one of respect, and recognising that your pastor and his wife, if he's married, that's their relationship and this is your relationship. Don't encroach on their marriage. Keep quite separate. You're employed to do a job, and that's what you need to be doing.
Okay, we're going to go to your questions now, but just before that, you see a quote there on your sheet, which I thought was helpful. It's that book, Jenny Brown's book, Growing Yourself Up. I think it's a really excellent book. I've only dipped sort of into it, and it plays into the HR read right through, but I think she's very helpful. And that's just the kind of the parallel. It's that whole area I touched on before of sometimes these problems are about us. Lois mentioned the kind of things. I've got my own anxieties and tensions and worries, and I kind of bring them. We always bring some baggage into these sort of relationships. And so while it becomes a strain or a difficulty or a reaction, etc., I need to ask myself, why am I reacting like I am? Is it actually a problem with them and their behaviour and this relationship, or is it just me, something that I need to do and to work at, etc.? I've got the quote there from Jenny because I thought this was a helpful quote because of the parallel I think is there. She comments, most people come to couples counselling saying they're here to work on their relationship. The irony is that the couples who make the progress are the ones that stop focusing on the marriage itself and start directing their attention towards their own behaviours. This is the paradox of growth in a marriage, that a responsible focus upon yourself and not on the relationship can bring the utmost degree of mutual satisfaction. If you want a better marriage, you need to give up making a project out of changing the relationship or your partner and instead make a project out of expressing your own maturity within it. And I thought there was something really helpful in that for us as well. Same kind of thing. I can think I need to fix, you know, she needs to stop behaving like this, etc. We've got to fix this relationship or whatever. But actually, I need to focus upon that last phrase there, expressing my own maturity within it. I need to think about, am I acting and respond in a godly fashion? Actually, this is me. I need to work on me and stop kind of looking to the other person. So just I thought it'd be helpful just to recognise that kind of parallel that was there. Right, so now we're going to go to questions. Okay, so fire away with kind of any questions you've got. Thank you for patiently listening. Kathy?
In a small church, where the wife is quite involved with the husband.
This is a friend of a friend kind of situation, don't you mean? Yeah.
And I mean, I was sort of thinking about the second one. Is there a time when you would consider having the wife on the staff team as a member of the staff team? Is that ever a helpful way, or is it always unhelpful?
So in a small church, kind of just repeat because in a small church context, and obviously a small church, it could be a larger church context, would you ever consider having the wife as a member of the team? Yeah. I think you'd have to say yes, that's a possibility. I don't particularly see why that wouldn't happen. It could set up some problems.
Oh, paid or unpaid, I suppose. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
And so
yeah.
It stops any healthy discussion for the rest of the staff team. I just want to hear
that. Yeah, so would you have the wife on the staff team, either paid or unpaid? I think in principle you have to say, in principle, I don't think you rule it out totally. Gifted, trained, equipped, able, etc. I think obviously you'd have to think through carefully those sorts of things you're talking about. Do they form a kind of a block with others that are actually unhelpful? And also what actually happens is going to get tricky at the point if I've employed Jill and she's very much part of the team and then there are some issues, perhaps other people have issues with her, or I might have an issue in terms of how she's going. I thought she would be more competent than she was at some area. going to get tricky at the point of, you're sacked, or, you know, well, we still love you. I don't know, off the top of my head, I'd say you probably wouldn't rule it out, but I would be slightly nervous about it in terms of the formality of that setup. If it's just volunteer stuff, it's a little bit easier to deal with those sorts of issues, I think. That'd be my, I think, quick answer to it, yeah. Yep.
I just wonder if either or both of the ladies could comment on the way that they speak to the rest of the congregation about the role of the other. So the way that they promote that person or portray that person to other people in the congregation in a helpful way.
Okay, so the question is about, from the Lois and Jill, how might they speak publicly about the other in terms of commending them, promoting them, etc., into the congregation?
I guess the way that I do it is just say they're doing a great job. I've never had to explain what they're doing and what I'm doing because people can normally see it. And as I've said before, I've been very thankful I've been able to get on with the women of the wives, of the husbands, who have been quite active in the ministry, in the church. So
what if there wasn't? What if there was a difficulty, say one of these scenarios, and there were other women involved? Like, how would you speak about the minister's wife in a godly way? Do you know what I mean? Like, to try and avoid triangulation with other people or unhelpfulness within the congregation.
So if there were problems, how would you explain... The relationship, yeah. I probably wouldn't say a lot, actually, because I don't want to tell lies. I'd probably just say, well, we're different in what we do, and I wouldn't want to say, oh, can't stand what she does, or we just can't stand each other. I wouldn't want to do that. I think I'd just downplay it and say, we've got our different styles. She does it her way, I do it my way. It's never happened, thankfully, but yes, yes. Jill has nothing to add. Jill has something to add.
No, I don't really. I mean, I haven't had that issue, so I guess it's a bit hard to speak about it. But I think, I mean, on the whole, yeah, you don't want them gossiping and taking sides, so I think you'd try to just completely hush that up, you know, stop people from any gossip that's happening and say, okay, we are having some, maybe even identify we're having some issues, but we will sort them out and you don't need to be involved in that.
Phil, I have a question just in relation to your comment about your relationship with Sarah and that there are things that you don't talk about, boundaries in your conversation. And the question is really, how do you then balance your role as her pastor as well as her boss? Like, I know with my boss, there are things that I want his wisdom that you kind of talked about, you wouldn't have those discussions with Sarah. But he's also my pastor, so how do you pastor her as well as being her employer?
Yeah, good question. How is that whole thing about being the boss and so forth, but also being the pastor? I think I'm saying I would be just careful about, one, assuming that I can go into those spaces with her, and I would certainly wait for her to invite for those kind of conversations. So you're saying, like, there are some things I want to discuss with you. I'm thinking about this. I think I'd be happy to have some of those conversations. But if I thought that was going to be an ongoing thing, I'm just thinking maybe someone more appropriate to be able to deal with those things than me over the long term. If she says, look, I'm struggling a bit with loneliness or whatever it might be, we can chat a little bit about that, etc. But I would be starting to think in my mind, who else can I get to help her with this rather than necessarily me? That's just my kind of reaction to it. I'm trying to be as helpful as I can. She's a member of the congregation. She's on the staff team. I want to foster and grow her and encourage her in every way I can. I guess I'm just saying there's possibly just some areas where perhaps I would be a bit more cautious about getting too engaged and certainly keeping up the conversation about that. I mean, sometimes when I felt, for example, in other contexts where I think the female staff member has sometimes had two or three people who are the, say, male members of staff keeping on chatting with her about how she's going and relationships and all those things. And sometimes she's sort of almost a little bit of, sometimes felt a little bit like almost like public property a little bit at that point. Because I'm just saying, I'm trying to respect that boundary or that space. If she's happy enough to chat, okay. But I think I'd be looking to find others if it was going to be an ongoing, close, personal kind of thing, not me. Yeah.
So you're talking about others within the congregation or for her to find people outside of the congregation to do that?
I think I try to encourage both. So is it an inside or outside the congregation? We've got a setup where I ask one of the parish councillors to particularly look out for each of the staff members and meet with them and have coffee. That's an internal thing. I just like them to have another avenue. If there's something I'm doing in that relationship that perhaps someone could actually come and say, look, I think you could work a little harder at, or, you know, I just, you know, it may be worth, you know, just a little quiet word. I want to make sure, and they've got an avenue for that. If it's impossible to raise it with me, I want to make sure they can raise it with somebody. But I would certainly encourage also external. So I think actually having that external outside of the congregation, it's just very safe. I mean, I have that. So Jill and I have friends who are completely remote from Gladesville that we can go and sit down and say, oh man, you know what's happened now, etc. You know, and no, it's all going to be safe. It's confidential. It's not going to go anywhere. We can say whatever we like. And as Lois said, it's almost like it's not forgotten, but it's sort of, it's safe. So I certainly would want to encourage, I don't know, for example, Sarah has that kind of a thing, and I'm sure Lois does, and all of the women I've had on my staff teams have had that external relationship, yeah. Cheryl?
How would you advise somebody who believes that a staff member is too interested in her husband?
So how would I advise? So that someone's a bit too close in some situation. What would I do about it, or what? There's just a little too much closeness or something that's there, yeah.
From the woman's side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the helpful and things that you would think about doing are in place. At the moment, they have been dealing with it by thinking this may be a season in this woman's life. She just needs a little bit more.
Yeah. So is it, so, yeah.
Okay. How would you, they're not people who are, who have been foolish in how they've set things up.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Lois, do you want to comment on that? I'm hearing in that, I think so, it sounds like something, that sort of dependency kind of thing, perhaps. Are they kind of, is there a, it may not be a kind of an attraction kind of thing. It may just be a sense of dependency, a bit too close.
Always wanting his point of view on it. He says, what do you think, wife? That she doesn't turn to the wife.
Yeah. So he's trying hard to kind of deflect it somewhere else, but it's not working. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if someone's saying they think that's a season and the season is not changing and still there, then I think someone...
I think that's how they treat it.
Yeah.
So far, that perhaps if we give up and concern as a couple,
yeah,
not as a man for himself,
yeah,
she will get
through
this season.
Okay. Let me ponder that some more. I'm not quite sure I understand all the details of it, but I might talk with you afterwards about it, yeah.
Anybody else?
Anyone else got a thought on that?
I have heard of a situation, a counselling situation, where a woman had expressed sexual attraction for the pastor who was counselling her, who said, no more, away you go, and gave her to a different counsellor. She then did the same thing with the second counsellor, who was very frank with her and said, wow, that's an interesting thing that you expressed those feelings for me, because I felt like I'd always been very clear with you that my wife is, so it's intriguing to me to have a baby. And it came up as a, and it wasn't actually about sexual attraction at all, it was, you know, the other thing she was, so he was very, very frank in a way that I would never have even considered being, and it was actually very helpful like, to move this lady along in her understanding of where she was at.
So that's really trying to get to the bottom of why is it like that, and why is she not picking up the clues? So what actually, is there some sort of dependency thing or something rather? So it's, yeah, I'll be trying to drill down into that. I don't know who should do the drilling down to that, and whether she's willing to go and see someone to help her drill down. There's a problem here. It's been perceived by everybody, and it's got to be fixed. And so either it gets fixed or something's got to change in these relationships. And it might be quite a serious conversation at that point. But it can't continue. Yeah. Other questions?
You made a point earlier about when you employed a woman that you'd actually ask your wife about it. Now, if you've got a team and you've got elders and everyone making a decision about employing a woman on staff, I don't understand entirely why you would then bring in your wife to oversee all
decision-making process. Yeah, look, it's a good, fair point. I thought someone might ask me about that. I think, so this is about the employment thing, just repeating the questions about why I might consult with my wife. I think, to be fair, I'd be interested in Jill's opinion on anybody that was coming on my staff team. So it's not just the female. I'm interested in her view. She, as a female, knows the person, maybe heard them. Maybe she's got a completely different view of that person. I'd be doing that very early on, way before you'd started even talking to people, just sort of to check. And I think then the one with the female, I guess I'm just saying, I just would like to know whether there might be any issue there in this relationship that I'm completely unaware of, but just worth asking the question. So it's just due diligence. I don't think it's, and I would have to say, I think it's the same for the guy as it was for the girl. So it's not particularly the case that it's just the female that I'm kind of somehow worried about in some way. It's just, you know, partly that's because of my view that, you know, I am very interested in what Jill thinks in ministry, years of experience, perception, knows me, knows our church, knows the team, got an idea of whether something would work or not work. It's just very helpful. Yeah.
So it's a little bit more dependent on your relationship.
I think so. If you have your wife, she was not particularly engaged. Maybe she works full time. She's doing something else, and she's involved in church life, but not particularly. That might be a different scenario. But there might be another female on staff that I might say, you know. And obviously, if there was already women on staff, I would certainly be interested in. You know, like I'm thinking of talking with so and so. What do you think? Whoa, actually that's going to be a problem. I had no idea about that history there or something. Yeah, it's just that kind of to know. And even if there was an issue, I might not say, okay, therefore that's a no-go, I'm not going to do it. I might just say, oh, that's interesting, because it may be their problem or my wife's problem. She just has to actually face that and deal with it. Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Maybe time for one more.
The whole idea of, you were saying, meeting with the women, not being very careful about where you're meeting with them. I've seen it in a case where, for instance, the minister was meeting with 6 or 7 staff members and met with all the guys and then went to the coffee shop with the woman for the last meeting. And it makes a very strange dichotomy that you've always got these odd meetings with the women, but with all the guys you can be in a certain process. Is there some guidance you can give about being appropriate, but also not making this a very targeted. This is such a strange relationship.
Yeah. It's a good question. How do I make sure that I'm appropriate in that relationship, but also not making out somehow this is a sort of careful sort of sensitive thing? Look, I suppose my reaction to that is I meet all of my staff in the coffee shop. I guess it's that kind of thing, that the gender thing does make a difference in terms of the relationship. But I appreciate the point, not making it so sort of somehow special. Everyone else is in one category, you're in another category. I think I'd probably just try to make sure that there's something that's fairly even. So exactly that. I meet. I would meet say, Sarah, at our office, all of our offices have got glass in the windows and, you know, except there's people wandering around all the time. It's public. It's just one of those realities, I guess, we've just got to face and just try to... Yeah, I don't think I've got a particular clever wisdom on that one. Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
Well, let's thank Phil, Jill and Lois. So, lots to consider from our session just now. It's been great to learn from your wealth of experience and wisdom in working on staff teams. Four things from today to apply careful thought and action to, I think, in our staff and family relationships. Number one, good communication, expectations and transparency. Number two, clear boundaries in relationships, roles and responsibilities. Number three, avoid triangulation. And number four, that aspect of self-care, looking to yourself and also looking to serve others. And I think the questions and discussion have been great. One extra spin, I think, to put on it is it's not just damage control, is it? It's actually immensely positive that we put in place some of these things so that we can work towards building an experience of ministry and family that's going to bring us all great joy and energy in serving the Lord. So what a great thing to work hard towards and make sure we keep on putting effort into. Well, thank you for coming to today's Priscilla and Aquila Conference. I hope it's been lots for you to consider and be challenged by as we think of those aspects that cut to the heart of who we are in our lives and in our living for Christ. Singleness, marriage, divorce, remarriage, ministry. Let me pray as we close. Father, we thank you for the way that you have made us in all our complexity, in all our frailty, and yet in Christ, in all our glory. We pray that filled by your Spirit, filled with the gospel, that you might take us, weak and broken vessels, and transform us and change us into the image of Christ in everything that we do, in all our relationships, so that from us might go out the glorious gospel of the God who saves, restores, and brings us joy. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks very much.